In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is difficult for us to conform our wills to the will of God, to do the things that God has asked us to do, commanded us to do. Original sin and its companion concupiscence have damaged and weakened our resolve to cooperate with God's grace. This becomes particularly manifest in doing the right things, not only in a life lived well in terms of the thoughts that one has, but more importantly in the actions that one manifests as he or she goes out into the world. Most of us are not egregious sinners, at least in the ways that we conceptualize the egregious nature of sin. None of us are guilty of public sins. None of us are guilty of murder or blasphemy or heresy. But we are, brothers and sisters, oftentimes guilty of minor sins or major sins that we commit in private. Sins just as serious, and maybe even more so, precisely because they remain hidden. And that natural compunction to conform ourselves, at least because of the pressures of others, disappears because there is no one to pressure us. There is no compunction to do right because no one is there to see us do wrong. The world, of course, in which we live, a world that I grumble against often, has told us that it is okay for us to simply do as we want, when we want, how we want, with whomever we want. There are no guardrails. There are guidelines by which one may or may not choose to live their lives, but certainly there are no rules that come from God. And there certainly is nothing from the outside that compels, only that from within. And we know how easy it is to become comfortable with sin. And what begins to change is not the world in which we live, but we ourselves. And then after a time, we have simply grown comfortable with doing what we want, how we want, and the manner in which we want. And every once in a while, we might pay heed to the will of God. We might strike out to conform ourselves appropriately, but that becomes altogether too much to do, like running a marathon when you've been on your couch for years. It seems like a good and praiseworthy idea, and of course, everyone wants to encourage you to success, but you're in no physical, spiritual, or mental shape to undertake something so arduous. And so it is even more so in the spiritual life. Years upon years of simply going your own way, doing your own thing, and convincing yourself that somehow every once in a while, when you conform yourselves to the will of God, you indeed are a good practicing Christian, becomes very difficult then when you realize how not good you actually are, and all the things that need to be changed, and in order for that goodness to be made manifest. These, brothers and sisters, are unfortunate things to hear, and so most of my brother priests simply do not say them, because we too are not immune, if you will, from the difficulties of compromising with the world and seeking more comfort in our own instead of seeking the things of God. It is easier to be liked than it is to preach the truth. It is easier to seek comfort and ease as opposed to the dissatisfaction and the pain that will come from the crucifixion that will come from calling people to live as God intends them to live. But I want to get to heaven, and I can't get to heaven if I compromise the truth. Even if I fail to actually live it, it must indeed be preached nonetheless. And that for you, so for me, always begins again and again with seeking to overcome our sinfulness, to put aside our inclinations and the temptations to insidious behavior, to conform ourselves to the will of God. God expects us to cooperate with his grace, and in docility and humility to participate in his salvific work for us, for our own salvation and the salvation of the whole world. Grace builds on nature. Grace is not magic. It's not fairy dust that God sprinkles on us and all of a sudden we are made holy. Grace is the very gift of God himself poured out in our lives sacramentally and actually so that we can live as God intends us to live. But since grace is not magic, it can fall fallow and be empty, not because it is empty in itself, but because we have emptied it of its content by not making our souls fertile for the gift of grace received. If we want to be transformed, and God wants us to be transformed, if we want to cooperate and conform to God's will, and this is God's desire for us, then we must cooperate with the abundant graces that God bestows upon us. And if we churlishly cry to God in resentment that he's not given us enough, or has not done enough for us lately, or has failed to provide for us the things that we think we need, it is nothing but a churlish, childish position that has chosen to not see what is right in front of you, that grace is indeed poured out upon grace, abundantly bestowed upon you, so that you can live as God intends you to live. In his exhortations to the Romans, St. Paul continues to remind us of the dignity that we have received by virtue of baptism. We are God's children. We are not debtors to the flesh. We are not slaves to our sinfulness. We are not at the mercy of our inordinate and confused desires. But because we are God's children through baptism, we share in the fullness of that life that comes to us in Christ. That's not a pious exhortation. It is a theological truth. And it plays itself out in the lives of the saints and in those moments, as few and far at times as they may be, when our wills do indeed conform to the will of God. We have clearly then a manifestation in our own flesh of the dignity that we've received because we are God's children. We are not at the behest purely of our natural inclinations because we have become supernatural creatures. To call ourselves sons and daughters is not then a passive activity and merely the recognition of a name. To call ourselves God's children is to then put into action those things that will clearly convict us and in the eyes of the world be seen as such. The universal call to holiness comes not from an imposition from without, where God simply tells us what it is that we ought to do. But the call to holiness stems from our desire to live as God wants us to live as his children. That grace that he gives us in order to live this childlike life to which he has called us. It begins with an interior disposition, definitely. A heart turned toward God. A willingness to put my needs and wants aside and to embrace only those things that come from God himself. But then that interior disposition compels us to obedience, generosity, love. In action, you must do something because you are something. They go hand in hand. And if at times you feel incapable of doing this, it is not because God's grace has been taken from you. It's because you've chosen to squander your dignity and live not as a child of God, but instead as a child of the flesh. In our collect this morning, we prayed that the Lord would send the Spirit upon us, that would allow us to think right in order that we might do right. And then we concluded this recognition of the Spirit leading us to right thought and right action, asking that we can remain radically dependent upon God, because we know it is from God that that same Spirit comes. And so, brothers and sisters, the beauty of life in Christ is that we can always begin again. Each moment, each day, is yet another opportunity to commit ourselves to do what God intends and asks us to do. And so if you have limped in the last several months in conforming your will to God, if you have failed to be obedient as God has intended you to be, if you have squandered your grace and the dignity of your baptism in sin, there is no cause for fear or despair. There is cause for resolution, to come forward and to receive the living God, and having been nourished by him in the most holy Eucharist, to rededicate yourself to live as his son or his daughter. This can be done, not because I say it can, but because God has willed it so. Remember who you are and whose you are, and the grace that God has given you to fulfill this dignity, and then resolve today to go live as his beloved children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.